Tune into Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service Radio.
Well, hello again to all you fabulous beings out there listening. Welcome to the second episode of Politics. I'm your host, Paul Wharton, and with me, of course, is my fabulous co-host, Stacey Rush. So we're back from our vacations and catching you up on what we did on our break, including me wreaking havoc in the Hamptons.
Oh my gosh.
I got some juicy stuff for you.
I love you and the Hamptons together.
You know, that's my life. We'll talk Aretha Franklin's funeral and get political with today's special guest, Dr. Michael Eric Dyson, who weigh in on why he chose to speak out against Trump at Aretha's funeral. Did you see it?
I did. I watched a lot of it. It was touching.
Woo.
Yeah.
All of that and so much more on today's episode of Politics. Politics would not be possible without the support of our very generous sponsors. The Bitar Cosmetic Institute is home of the aesthetics-enhancing genius Dr. George Bitar and his talented staff. Metro Offices. If you're an entrepreneur that wants to take your cluttered home office to an affordable, modern, professional, fully furnished space, Metro Office is the scalable solution for you. Mervis Diamonds.
You're
sparkly.
Wow.
Yes.
That looks gorgeous.
Isn't
on
that
you?
Pretty too? And yeah. I was just like, well, baby, you got some green to go with my dress?
Everyone needs a good diamond person, and the people at Mervis should be yours. They have what you need. The Mandy and David team at Compass. You should definitely check them out. MandyandDavid.com. And finally, Hungry Catering, DC's premier chef to table corporate catering service. Check them out at tryhungry.com, code politics. So for those of you joining us for the first time, we're not talking politics. We're talking politics. Sometimes funny, sometimes serious, but always entertaining. Would you
agree? Yes, absolutely.
So today we're broadcasting from our new podcast home, The Line Hotel in D.C.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
Isn't it gorgeous?
So swanky.
I love it. It's so you.
It's so you.
Oh, okay. I'll take it. So our thanks to Jack Inslee and the entire team at Full Service Radio for partnering with us. So I love this hotel. It's got a great bar, restaurants, beautiful rooms, and an amazing initiative with Full Service Radio.
Yes.
You can catch us live every Thursday at 2 at fullserviceradio.org. So, Miss Stacey girl, what's up?
How are you, darling?
I've missed you.
You did?
I did.
Oh, that makes me feel good. You know,
yeah,
it is so great to be back together. I can't believe we're already on our second episode.
Right?
And for those of you that didn't check out the first episode, don't forget to watch our first episode. It's on Spotify or our YouTube channel. We had the amazing, the incomparable Miss Vivica A. Fox.
Shout out to my homegirl.
Yes, yes. That was so
herself.
Much fun.
Yeah, and you know, Vivica actually has a new talk show.
Oh, really?
Called Face the Truth.
Right.
It debuts
right.
on September 10th. It's executive produced by Dr. Phil. So shout out to her. Please support her show.
Yes.
Another Hollywood girlfriend that I reconnected with today. It's her 54th birthday today, Rosie Perez.
Yay! Happy birthday, Rosie.
Yeah. Mookie. I always say Mookie. So, you know, you all might know her from White Men Can't Jump or Spike Lee's Do the Right Thing. And I know her because, Stacey, when I was living in New York the first time, that was my homegirl.
Really?
I would go to Brooklyn. I would chill on her stoop. She would make me pina coladas. We would smoke weed.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no.
So she was your homegirl.
Oh, that's my
homegirl.
That's my homegirl. So, yeah, shout out to her.
Love her. She's
a great
actress.
I hope she has a fabulous birthday. So what did you do over Labor Day weekend?
Oh, my goodness. So I told you that my husband just had surgery. He had back surgery.
Okay.
So very serious. And he is recuperating. My in-laws came in from Germany to help out with my daughter.
God, it's great having in-laws.
I love them. They're so great. So, you know, he was just back up on his feet. So we went to our community pool. Shout out to the community pools in the DMV. Mom life.
You know, strike me as a community pool kind of person.
Oh, I am. You don't know. I have many sides to all this.
I love it.
So yeah, we just hung out together as a family. It was just nice that, you know, to see him up and healthy and, you know, I was just really thankful and filled with gratitude. The sun was shining. My
That's
baby
awesome.
Was screaming with her grandparents and It was just wonderful.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was nice.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, you know, I headed, I got back from Rome,
which we'll
talk about a bit. You know, I had a great adventure in Rome, stayed for 11 days, reconnected. For those of you that have listened to me on the Hey Phrase podcast, mm-hmm. you know about Renzo. Renzo, my on again, off again fling. So we had a great time in Rome.
Yeah. Your pictures on IG were phenomenal.
I had a book signing there.
Oh my gosh.
My friend Alessandro Grimaldi. I have all these exotic, you know, friends with names.
I'm digging your pronunciation today, my friend.
Isn't that something?
You are so international.
I'm so international. I'm selling books in Rome. So we had a great time. And then, so Labor Day weekend, I went to the Hamptons, back to the Hamptons.
Yes, yes.
So that was my fourth trip to the Hamptons this summer.
You've been there a lot.
I've been there a lot.
What's drawing you there, my friend?
What's drawing me back?
Hmm.
There's something about it. You know, I just love it there. I have great friends.
Yes.
Friends make everything better.
They do.
You know, I even had a person tell me, oh, I went to Rome. I really didn't like it. But you know what? Because I have friends there, it's amazing to me.
Yeah, it changes the whole experience.
Yeah, if you have people showing you the right places to go, where to eat, you know, and really having fun with you. I mean, it makes it different, right?
For sure.
So yeah. I have that in the Hamptons.
Okay.
So my friend Amanda had a Labor Day party, a pool party, and I wanted to run something by you. So
okay.
Let me set the scene for you.
Let me scoot up. And
scooch up, girl.
Tune in.
Tune into this.
Listen.
So you know, why does this stuff always happen to me? You know, all right. So I met a guy a while back in one of my previous trips to the Hamptons.
Okay.
And we went out on a date or whatever, and we had a, you know, little fun time, fun weekend. So I invited that guy to come to the party. I also invited another friend of mine to come. Now, mind you, I'm the guest.
Okay.
So that's the guest of the guest with the one guy. And then my other friend, who was the guest of the guest, invited another guest and another guest. So it was like the guest of the guest of the guest. Okay?
Okay.
So the guest of the guest of the guest hooked up in my friend's pool party with this other guest that I had hooked up with previously. Now, he was a guy who hooked up with this girl in front of me at the pool party. That
in front of you?
In front of everybody.
Oh.
In the hot tub, in the pool.
Okay.
And it wasn't really that kind of party. I mean, when I say hooked up, I mean like they were just groping on each other and kissing and caressing. And then we kept catching them in the bushes.
In the bushes?
In the bushes, girl. We're in the Hamptons. You know, right down the street from Ron Perlman's house.
Like, oh, Lord.
We got security cameras and stuff. So, but I wanted to ask you, because I was really, like, hot at the end of the night. But I didn't know if it became kind of indistinguishable if it was, like, I was personally offended because I had hooked up with the guy. And now he hooked up with this other girl at the party.
Mm-hmm.
Or was I just feeling like they were rude for coming to somebody's house that they didn't know,
mm-hmm.
coming in and, you know, making all of those kind of sexy moments with each other in front of everybody?
I don't know. I think it was a bit rude
mm-hmm.
to be a guest of a guest of a guest of a guest.
Right.
And to be your friend and hook up at a party. I just think it's like poor taste.
It's poor taste,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's poor taste. What do you think?
Well, that's
Were you offended?
Yeah. I was like, y'all gotta go. You got to go. You know.
But were you a little sensitive, perhaps?
I was.
Because you, okay.
Well, I'm like
that
anyway.
And that's warranted. That's
understandable. I'm like, you know, if I've been with you, like, you know, you messed with me, you stuck with me.
Forever.
Right.
You can't touch another
because
person.
Because I never get caught. So I'm doing the same thing, but I just don't do it in front of people.
See, that's what really turns me off about it. I just think there's something a little, I don't know, dirty about being attracted to someone and sort of acting on that in public.
Isn't
you know,
that
take it behind the bushes, but
take
don't be like in front of the bushes or in the pool.
So let me take you one step further. Let me take you one step further. So the guy in question is married, but separated from his wife. So he's married with kids, and then he has a girlfriend that he lives with.
Okay.
So after all of this went down and I kind of sent him home, me, my other friend that invited this other girl that hooked up with the guy, we all went to this club.
Okay.
So in the car, she was like, oh, does he have a girlfriend? I says, yes, he does. And he has a wife.
Ooh.
Which was the
Paul,
truth.
Which but was Paul.
Oh, that's not right? Oh, I got to keep the secret? So you mean to tell me you're going to hook up in front of me and then I got to keep your secrets?
Yes.
Okay. You need to tell me that ahead of time.
Oh.
That's a deal you got to make with me up front.
Oh my gosh, Paul, you didn't told all his business.
Well, I mean, what do you wouldn't do the same?
No, I would stay out of it.
Okay.
But that's just me. I would stay out of it.
That you wouldn't. If you were involved with any of these people, you would not stay out of it. And I think everybody knows that. In fact, you would be all up in it.
So what happened when you told?
So then she tells him she can't see him because
you told.
I told that.
Oh,
mind you, this is the next day. That night we went to the club. That same girl met another guy. Left out of the club with him, went to the side of the in the bushes again.
What with is going a new guy. On with the bushes?
Bushes on bushes in bushes. Trust me, it was crazy. But check this out. So then she uses what I told her as an excuse of why she won't date
the
other guy.
Mm-hmm.
Then he texts me and cursed me out. I can't believe that you would tell that, or that you would talk that way about me. What? Tell the truth?
Oh my God. But can I just be honest?
Yeah.
Your friends are loose.
No, child, these aren't my friends. These are like my after hours friends.
Okay. There's a difference.
Right.
There's a difference. Okay. I'm like,
it's
none
like,
of my friends are hooking up in the bushes.
Right. Well,
what's going on here?
See, after my friends go to sleep, then I get out there with the little ruffians.
Oh,
you know?
I see you.
I'm usually the one in the bushes, though. I'm mad.
No, Paul, don't be in the bushes.
I'm in the bushes. I call it taking a walk after dinner. So anyway, everybody's pissed at me. And I told the guy, I said, so we're on the beach. Check out karma. So we're on the beach. I am going crazy because he's texting me. I'm like, you are not going to ruin my vacation. Back up with all that. Then the girl in question, walks up to us on the beach. We're in the Hamptons. There are like beaches everywhere. We are like five people sitting on the beach. All of a sudden, we are far from home.
Okay.
And they roll up on us. I'm like, wait a minute now. Y'all got GPS on me? How y'all rolling up on me?
How did they find you?
How did they find me? So the Hamptons was full of drama, but full of so much fun. Shout out to my friend Amanda Polk for hosting me this summer, and my friend Schultze for hosting me in Montauk, and Jeff and all these wonderful people that I met.
Well, I'm glad you had a fabulous Labor Day weekend.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
So I was a little sad to see that the Queen of Soul passed away,
yeah.
Aretha Franklin.
It was... I just can't believe it. You know, I can remember when I was living in Germany and listening to her music, and it made me, you know, feel like I had home with me, even though yeah. I was living abroad. And I know she's touched so many lives with her voice. It's just, you know, it's unbelievable, but it's yeah. a part of life, right?
What
it's
was
a part
your favorite
of life.
Song, Aretha's song, do you know?
I have to be honest.
Yeah.
It's probably Respect.
Yeah.
Something about that just speaks to me as a woman. Yes.
Find out what it means to live. R-E-S-P-E-C-T-E. Take care. T-P. I never knew what she said right there.
Suck it to me. Suck it to me.
Take care of. What was that?
Take care of TLC.
Okay. You know what? I guess you don't know.
Okay. We don't know. We need to Google that.
I love Through the Storm. I love Knew You Waiting For Me. Knew You Were Waiting.
Oh, yes. With George Michael.
Knew You Were Waiting For Me. Now, yeah. And Through the Storm with Elton John.
Oh my God.
Those are some.
Yes.
I love that. So, did you see the funeral?
I did.
Okay.
So many celebrities there paying tribute to her. And a little controversy, right?
A little controversy.
Yeah, with Ariana Grande.
Yeah,
did you see that?
It was way too short, and she knew it was too short.
Oh my goodness. Like, where are your people? No one said to her, you know, Ariana, girl, it's a little short. And I know she's.
But you know, people keep saying that, but does somebody really have to say that to you?
Well, I mean, when you're a celebrity, yes, that's why you have people managing you to keep you on track.
Right.
It was just, to me, it was disrespectful.
It was to me as well. I mean, I thought it would be kind of instinctual to her, but, you know, I guess not. Well, I saw the funeral, and one particular tongue lashing stuck out to me.
Okay.
By none other than Dr. Michael Eric Dyson, who you know is a very close friend of mine and the author of What True Sounds Like. So I knew when we were coming back from vacation, I wanted to get a little more into why he felt that was the right time to go up against Trump at Aretha's funeral and just get his take on that. So I want to go to, I was able to catch up with him earlier, and he sent us this message for the podcast. Check it out.
Okay.
Hey, Paul and Stacey. I'm Michael Eric Dyson here. Great to be on the Politics Podcast today. The Great Politics Podcast. Let me get right to the point. Yes, indeed. I called out Donald J. Trump, the president of the United States of America, as a lugubrious leech, as a lethal liar, a foolish fascist, a dim-witted dictator, a dopey doppelganger of deceit and deviance. Why? Because I think he needs to be taken to task and held accountable. Look at the Bob Woodward book that is coming out very soon. Look at Omarosa's book. Look at the New York Times op-ed from a person in the administration, a senior official. This is a president who is out of control. And was Aretha Franklin's funeral the best place to do so? Absolutely. First of all, Ms. Franklin was a friend of mine, and she was deeply and profoundly political. She understood the nature and necessity of political resistance articulated at every moment and every spot of this culture. And her funeral, to send her off in the highest possible style, was an acknowledgement of her deep roots, not only in intellectual and moral and political life, but especially, obviously, also in her rhetorical, in her aesthetic, and in her musical life. But it was conjoined with politics. And this president has to be stopped. This orange apparition, as I talked about him, using her death as a means to celebrate her working for him? Nah, bruh, that ain't what it is. So my celebration of Aretha Franklin was to uplift her, to transcend the vicious vagaries of Donald Trump's attempt to use her to further his agenda. No, she is part of the resistance, even posthumously against what he has done. Thank you all so much for having me on. God bless you. Love what y'all are doing.
All right. He got in that booty, huh? What do you think?
I don't know. There's a part of me that understands, you know, his perspective. Of course, I can empathize with everything he's saying, but at what point do we sort of take away from paying homage to Aretha? You know, I don't know. I understand that you have to use that platform at that moment to speak to so many of us who share the same views, but, you know, I've read a little bit about her family saying that they felt that it took away a bit from her, and it should have been more focused on her. So I don't know. I can see both sides. What do you think?
I think that the president's tweet about Aretha being a great person that worked for him,
that was offensive.
Well, I don't think that if he hadn't have tweeted anything about her, I don't think that Michael would have taken the opportunity to speak on Trump in the pulpit.
Yes.
But, you know, when you speak on someone in death and they have no say.
Yes.
You know, I think there is something to be said about the people that knew that person, that respected that person, that loved that person. You know, he was actually a friend of Aretha Franklin. Mm-hmm. For him to say, actually, no, you fool. Mm-hmm. She didn't work for you.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So for that, I respect him for it.
Yeah, and I definitely respect him for speaking up for her, for being her voice when her voice is resting now. I 100% support that.
So what's the part that you are having a hard time with?
I just feel, and I'm not specifically talking about Michael. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying in general, I felt that there was a strong political tone to her funeral. And
absolutely.
I don't know if that was appropriate. I don't know, you know, how much do we say? And, you know, I don't know. It's tough. It really is tough. I'm just being honest with you.
No, I agree completely. I mean, I think not so much from Michael. I think some of the other pastors that spoke, I mean, it got a little bit uncomfortable. And sometimes I just turned off the TV for one thing. It was 8 hours long and I have a life. But
yeah, it was, you know, hours and hours and hours.
It was a bit much. But there was a lot of things. And that's the thing about death. You know, it got me thinking. I even asked my mom, well, what do you want for your funeral? What do you want to be buried? Do you want to be cremated? Mm-hmm. I think it's important to talk about those things.
Yes.
Because you have someone that is such an icon, like Aretha Franklin. They pass away. Maybe this hasn't been planned. And I know they said like a niece of hers took on the planning of this. Well, you think, gosh, she's an icon. I have to do an 8-hour funeral. Well, you don't really. You know?
Right.
So when that's kind of thrown together, it did have that kind of feel to me. Like it was just a little chaotic.
Yeah.
And but, you know, in death comes a bit of confusion. But I'm so happy that she's able to rest in peace and be still. And she was put away beautifully. And she looked great.
Yeah, she sure did. She changed outfits four times.
The outfits look great, exactly.
I'm like, wow, Aretha.
You know?
Yeah, I think overall, I think, you know, we did well in sending her to heaven.
Yeah, yeah, I think so too. So I was actually invited to the funeral by two people. George Faison, who is a the original Broadway choreographer for The Wiz. He's a friend of mine. You know, that's the guy I always go up and visit in New York and Harlem. He lives in the Faison Firehouse.
Okay.
He lives in an old firehouse in Harlem.
How unique.
Isn't it awesome?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so he found that place with Maya Angelou and Oprah Winfrey, and they decided that it would be a great place to bring some dancing and creativity and productions back. So within his home, there's a full-on theater with a stage, a big...
What? In a firehouse?
Oh. He living up in that piece. He's living. Yeah,
love
so he's amazing. So he invited me. And also my friend Jennifer Lewis, she went out.
Oh,
they
gosh.
Cut her. They cut
I
her microphone.
Her. What?
Did you see her singing
that.
With Stevie?
I missed it.
She was singing with Stevie and they cut her microphone. But honey, Jennifer Lewis will continue to sing. And you heard her in the back of the church. So, so they all had a great time. It's so funny. My mom is like, why aren't you at Aretha's funeral? I'm like, mother, I did not know Aretha Franklin. I don't need to be everywhere everybody famous and black is. It's because you think I'm famous and black and your son doesn't mean I have to be everywhere they are.
I love your mom.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, she's so sweet.
So I guess we did see, I wanted to talk to you about something that you had mentioned to me on the phone that I thought was so interesting about your daughter.
Yes.
Speaking of home training and the people that came to that party.
Yes, my sweet little bug.
You had something very interesting happen, something that your husband overheard your daughter say to the nanny. Get into that story a little bit.
Yeah, my daughter, Arabella, is 2.5. And, you know, this is such a fun time. This is like my favorite age. But I've been saying that, you know, when she was 6 months, I'm like, this is amazing. It's my favorite age. And then when she was a year, I'm like, this is even better than that. And 18 months, I'm like, she's phenomenal. You know, it's just... You just love, love, love your children. And I love being a mother. But, you know, she is very sassy and very smart. And we don't speak to her with, like, baby talk. We never did that. You know, my daughter is bilingual. And, again, just very intelligent. And I was out and my husband was home with the nanny. And
does that mean brat?
Is that, stop.
No, I'm just wondering.
No, you did not call my daughter a brat.
I don't know. I've never been around her.
No, she's not a brat.
Okay.
She's just very smart, and it's alarming. The things that she will say, you'll be like, wait a minute, is she, you know, 2.5 or 15?
Right. Got it.
It's unbelievable.
Okay.
But I was out, and my husband was home with the nanny, and I came back in, and I'm like, hey, you know, how's everything going? And I walked in the bedroom, and he said, oh, my gosh. Arabella called Vanessa fat. I said, what did you say? He said, I was, you know, resting and she was feeding her lunch and I overheard Arabella say, you're fat. And I just couldn't even believe it. You know, my daughter is super sweet. I just, that had never happened, you know, but toddlers, you know, they speak their mind, they say things. So, I immediately walked upstairs to the playroom, and Vanessa was playing with Arabella. And I said, Vanessa, did Arabella call you fat? And she said, yeah, it's okay, it's okay. And I said, wait a minute, no, it isn't okay. Mm-hmm. And I said, Arabella, did you call Vanessa fat? And she said, yeah. And I said, well, we don't really say that. We shouldn't say that. I said, look at Vanessa and look at Mommy. We're different, right? Vanessa has long blonde hair and Mommy has curly hair. We look different, right? She said, yeah. I said, but what's important is that Vanessa is kind to you and she likes taking care of you. And she said, yeah. I said, that's what's important. I said, look at, you know, Mommy, think about Mommy and Daddy. We look different. And she's like, yeah. I'm like, but it doesn't matter. It's not important. What's important is that we love you and we are kind. And she said, yeah. I said, so we don't call people fat. We don't talk about what makes us different. You know, it's just more important to be kind. And she said, okay. And then she, you know, went back to playing. And I just, It was alarming. It was embarrassing for me because you don't want to have a brat as a child. Sure. I want to raise my daughter with compassion. And, you know, I'm really preparing her for the inevitable. And that is someone at school or, you know, an adult saying something about the way she looks because she's biracial. So I am already thinking about how can I train her to be able to deal with that.
I'm impressed.
You know, it doesn't matter what, you know, our differences are. It's really about, are you kind? Are you loving? That is what is important.
I love it.
So that's
Let me find out you know how to parent. How'd you learn that? You know, it's so crazy because for some reason my sister's been asking me, do you want to be a father? And then I was in Italy with Renzo and we talked about certain things and he asked me if I would be interested in, you know, becoming a parent. And I said, but God, I haven't really thought about it in so long, but maybe I would.
Would you?
I think I would. I think I would actually.
Because?
Well, I love children. I love children, but, you know, before, I've always been working on, you know, the book, the movies, the TV show, you know, creating, you know, the products, the brand, the business.
Yes.
That was the baby.
Mm-hmm.
So at a certain point, you start to see, you know, it clears a bit as things start to work out for you, you know?
Yeah.
So you're like, God, what's next? And I just see that as a possibility down the line. So I'm really interested in those stories because, you know, wondering how I would handle it and hopefully it'd be the same.
And it's like these things happen.
Yeah.
You aren't prepared. There isn't a book. There isn't training for being a parent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just have to, you know, speak and live and react from your heart and hope that you do a good job. It really is these, you know, spur of the moment things that happen. And you have got to think, how can I handle this?
Okay. Well, I have a bit of an issue with Renzo in terms of children because, see, I live in Washington, D.C. I live downtown in a small condo, but I have like, I have somebody helping me out, you know,
in the
house. You understand. And he, so this guy, it's like he's got these big places to live. He's got this big country house. And I'm like, this is great. So who does the sheets and the towels? Who does the guy?
Paul.
I do. And he's so proud of that. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, Jesus. Like, how in the world, what do I look like over here with a baby? Ain't got nobody in there washing no sheets, no towels. I got to cook them.
It's too much.
It's too much.
I don't know.
You make it work?
It's a different life.
Mm-hmm.
And you will find happiness in doing mundane things because you're doing it for your family.
Wow.
You aren't just washing a random person's sheets.
Right.
You aren't cooking a meal for a stranger. You aren't hosting a dinner party. There's no pressure or anything like that.
Sure.
You are taking care of your family.
Wow.
It makes a difference, you know?
I admire people like you.
You are so crazy. Paul.
No,
let me tell you something.
But if you know yourself,
yes,
like I know myself, because I don't like to get bogged down in all that. Like, I don't like to spend a day cleaning the house and you know, reorganizing the cabinets and ironing the sheets and all that kind of
stuff.
Now,
I'm not at home ironing sheets now. Come on. Even
I
have my limits.
How much I love the person that's sleeping in that bed.
You know, the biggest cliche that I'm sure you've heard it a million times, when you have a child, it changes you and everything changes. It is so true, Paul. Mm-hmm. It happened to me. Your perspective on life changes. When you look into a child's eyes and see your own, it changes your world. And you will be surprised what you will do for your child and your family. You might iron a sheet.
Well, there's one other thing that came up. And you know, it just came up in my head as it does because I've learned to hide my crazy, like my song, Hide Your Crazy. You know, whenever I think of these things, I'm like, I don't think I should repeat this out loud. Like to the other person, that's when they break up with you. But this other thing came up because I'm thinking, okay, so we're two men, all right? He's a white Italian guy. I'm a black guy from Cleveland. So you've seen Wanda Sykes, right?
Of course.
Wanda Sykes is married to a white French woman.
Yes.
Wanda Sykes has two children with her white French wife that are white.
Okay.
So the surrogate that they used, the sperm donor was white.
Okay.
And then the wife carried the children.
Beautiful.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay. But can I talk to Stacey from Detroit for a moment?
How is killing me today.
What am I
going to
look like walking around Europe with a white baby? Hold up. Now, listen.
It does. Listen, Paul. Nope. Paul. Okay. I'm sorry. I will speak.
Manny. Excuse me. Where are the parents?
Listen. My daughter is half black, and people say crazy things to me. Even if you have a little bit of black and a little bit of white, it doesn't matter. Things are going to happen.
I'm going to need a little bit, though.
You're going to need a little bit of black?
I'm going to need a little bit. I don't know who I'm going to be walking around.
You are so funny.
You know, plus you need a little bit of black. Spend no money. I might have to be in coach. I mean, you got to buy two seats. You know, it's just like a lot of changing. So as long as we could figure out how to make that work, because my only other thing is, you know, he does have a couple of bucks. So I'm thinking, okay, if I had to, I wouldn't be going through all these
that
changes.
Helps. Just going to say.
That's right. And a castle, but anyway, doesn't mean a lot. So, but if I had the baby with a surrogate, suppose I had the baby with a white surrogate, okay, just to make the baby look like the both of us, then he and I broke up. Would he not want to support the child based on the fact that he really doesn't have any DNA in that child?
Paul, you are worried about the wrong things.
What should I be worried about?
What about if you try and it doesn't happen?
I'll put the kid up for adoption.
No. I'm saying, what if you try to have a child with a surrogate, and for some reason it doesn't happen, and you have to adopt a child?
I'll ask you for one of your eggs.
Oh, wait a minute. What's happening? What is going on?
Solutions to the problem.
I don't know. I think if it's your child, if it's half your child, or if it's his child with a woman, it'll be yours and yours as a couple. And that is all that matters. It doesn't matter what the child looks like, where the child comes from. I'm telling you, once you as a couple decide to raise a child together, all that other stuff doesn't matter. Being a parent is a privilege and a blessing. And all that other stuff, it doesn't matter. Trust me, it doesn't matter. You are worried about the wrong things.
Well, of course, because I'm...
And don't be thinking about if you're going to break up. That's
crazy.
Well,
I'm at this stage in my life. Of course, when I knew you before you got pregnant, you didn't want to get pregnant.
That's right.
At a certain point in your life.
I was happy traveling with my husband. We visited over 35 countries together. We waited until later in life to have a child. You should do it when you're ready. I'm just saying, when you are ready, don't worry about that stuff. Just think about and focus on loving a child, raising a child with the man that you love, living your best life as a family. That's what it's all about.
Is that what it's all about?
Yes. When you leave this earth, you want to leave your legacy behind.
That's true.
Think about that.
Yeah. Okay.
Are you thinking about it?
I'm thinking about it.
You don't look convinced.
No, I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about, am I, in fact, do you know that you're ready until, like, for you? You got pregnant. Were you trying to get pregnant?
We said, okay, I am getting older and I want to minimize having complications because that's just a natural part of being a woman when you get older. It's a higher risk. So we said, okay, we have lived. We have traveled. We have danced. We have, we have had an amazing life together. Now let's start that family. And so I was ready to get pregnant.
Yes.
So you need to be ready before you do it. Don't be like, oh, let's see what happens. And I don't know how I feel. Like,
okay.
We'll see
it's going to be a minute.
Yeah.
Because I don't know where I want to live. You know, I don't know where I want to live. And of course, I don't even know if this relationship is necessarily going to work out. But I'm open. You know, but he recently said, he says, you know, I could move to D.C. And I'm like, oh, no, hold up. Wait, stop.
Now, why wouldn't you want him to move
to
D.C.?
Well, because I kind of like the idea of having the international lifestyle. Like, I'd like to be here for my work, and then I want to go.
Okay.
I want to go to Brussels and Rome and the countryside, and I love Rome. Mm. And in fact, he was thinking about selling his mother's apartment.
Okay.
And it's a beautiful, beautiful apartment. And, you know, this at the beginning of our trip, we weren't talking about marriage or kids. It kind of happened as the trip went on, you know. And he said, you know, I'm thinking about selling the apartment. I don't know what to do with it, but I think I want to sell it. So he started talking about marriage and kids. I'm like, well, I need an apartment in Rome. So I say to him, I said, how about this? I said, what if you renovated the apartment? I said, can you swing it? He says, of course. I said, okay, no problem. Let's renovate the apartment. I'll decorate it, and then we'll put it on Airbnb when I'm not using it. And he says, no, sweetie, when we're not using it, we're. I'm like, oh, sorry. It's a language thing. It doesn't translate. You know, I got out of that. You he says, so oh, funny. Oh, okay, it's a thing. I was like, slang term. Didn't mean anything.
Same thing, same difference.
Exactly, exactly. So, no, I see myself. I mean, I love travel. I love meeting new people. It's so interesting. I went to just being there in Italy. Like, I'm not fearful of going out, even though I don't really speak the language. I'm learning on Babbel, on my little app Babbel.
Okay.
You know, every morning I do like 10 minutes to learn a little something. But I just get out and I talk to people and I meet people and I have like real friends there now.
That's so cool.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Like, do you find that you meet people when you travel?
Absolutely. And, you know, we have tons of friends and family in Germany, and then from traveling so much throughout Europe, you meet people and you go to the same places. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of traveling.
Isn't that the beauty?
Yeah.
I think that's great. So, you know, I'm launching this new hair care product line.
Yes. Your hair looks amazing,
doesn't
by the way.
Look pretty good.
Yeah. Last night I was looking at you on stage and I was like, wow, bounce and shine.
Wasn't it bouncing and shining?
Yeah, you looked fantastic.
So check it out, you all that are listening. Check out Get Zhuzhed. .com. That's spelled GETJUJED. Get Zhuzhed.
I love that. Zhuzh.
So it's Zhuzh. Yes. So we're doing hair and skin and all these great products. And yeah, I'll definitely hook you up with some of this thing. But last night, the fashion show, I want to talk to you about that. I got a little bone to pick with you.
Oh,
and you know where
boy.
I'm going, don't
oh,
you?
Oh my gosh. Please, Paul. Please.
So listen.
This was not approved.
So New York Fashion Week, you know, starts today. So check out all of the fashion shows from the top designers. But before New York Fashion Week, we had a big show in D.C. last night called District of Fashion, where I partnered with Downtown D.C. BID, the Business Improvement District, and we held an amazing, I'm telling you, we hung 3,500 tulips from the ceiling.
Oh my, it was so beautiful. It was just breathtaking when you walked in, really.
Wasn't it breathtaking?
It was.
And we held it at this amazing event space called The Showroom, and we had 10 designers and about 25 models, and it was fabulous. Well, part of me being the host and the person that put a lot of it together, I got to say who sat in the front row.
Yes.
So, of course, just like in any place, everybody thinks that they're the most important person there. So everybody wants to sit in the front row. So Stacy and I are talking before the show, and she's like, I didn't make sure I'm in the front row. I'm like, of course you're going to be in the front row.
Did I say that?
Yes. She's like, I'm going to sit right next to you. I said, no problem. But I've got a bunch of other people, but you sit next to me. It's going to be great.
Yes.
So you get there and you bring a friend.
Yes.
Okay. And my thing is, it's all about being magnanimous. I think you should acknowledge your host. You know, if somebody comes in and they've been invited, you know, you should defer to your host if you're asking them where you should sit and they suggest you should sit in a certain place.
Yes.
You don't say, no, I want to sit there. And that's kind of the energy I got from your friend a little bit.
It was a very uncomfortable moment. I was like, what's happening? What's happening?
But we've done that before. Like this same person, I will have to just say this because it's a podcast and I'm going to tell my business. I won't say the name, but, you know, we went to another event before and she was invited as my guest on a VIP ticket, a very expensive ticket. And she came as the guest and she's like posing every 3 seconds and asking us to take pictures of her. And I'm just like, well, wait a minute, chick. Wait, hold up. Like, I'm not here to be the photographer. Mm-hmm. And like have a moment of connection. There was no thank you for having me here. Thank you for extending this VIP ticket to me. Mm-hmm. And so last night, you know, when I was telling her where to sit, she was like, well, I want to sit in the most important seat. I want to sit where it matters. I'm going to sit in the best seat that's going to give me the best lighting, where the people are going to take my picture. Like, honey. So I looked at you like, are you going to handle this?
I think you said you need to manage your friends.
Yes.
Your friend, excuse me. I think that those were the exact words.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
was that offensive to you?
I think, I'm trying to be diplomatic here.
Mm-hmm.
I think she was sort of joking, and it just maybe wasn't the time to joke, because you were like, oh, why don't you sit over there?
It was total chaos.
It was total chaos.
Everybody was running for seats.
It was before the show.
Yeah.
You were about to be on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, and she was like, no, I want to sit with my friends. I don't know them. I don't want to sit with my friend. I don't, you know those people, the people that you were directing her to sit with. So I just think it was like the perfect storm.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't the time perhaps for the joke. It wasn't the time for you to have patience in that scenario. You mentioned, you know, other things happening at another event where you felt that she was maybe a bit aggressive. So I think it was sort of the perfect storm of things happening where everyone was just sort of short with one another.
Okay. But I just
because
noticed
she's
that
my
you didn't
friend.
Really step into it at all. Like, you had
I didn't.
Zero
I,
to say.
I really, I didn't, because I love you. You are right. My friend, and she is a friend too. And again, I don't think it was, you know, anything negative on your part or her part. I really do think it was the beginning of the show. People are sitting down. Lights are coming up. You have got to go on stage and host a show in front of hundreds of people. Mm-hmm. I just think it was one of those moments, you know,
right,
where time is of the essence. We're, you know, moving and hustling and trying to get a seat.
Okay.
I really do think it was that, as opposed to, you know, heads butting.
Okay.
Because I know all of my friends have the same quality, and that is they are able to get along with people. They're really social. They're very loving. So I don't think it was any ill will on her part. I'm really being honest with you, Paul.
Okay.
She loves you.
She does?
Yeah, she loves you.
Didn't you say that
Who
she
doesn't
was
love
a little
you?
Salty about me not recognizing her somewhere or something like that?
No.
You didn't?
No.
Okay. I think you did.
No.
You said
I
that
said,
every time she meets me, she has to reintroduce herself. And she
I
was,
said that we came to one of your book signings, mm-hmm. and she was like, hey, how are you? And it's so good to see you. And you said, you were like, where do I know you from? And I think it was, again, a shaky moment between the two of you. Really, I don't know why you guys are missing each other. But I think a lot of people.
Why is she always posing for pictures and stepping on my toes?
Paul, you have to share the limelight sometimes. Share your shine.
Look,
come
on. Give me a little space, lady. Why you got to put that high heel in my foot?
Everybody wants to be next to you. Everybody wants to take a picture with you. Everybody wants to sit next to you.
You know what?
Blame yourself.
Now it's my fault.
It's your fault. You're so fabulous.
I just sold a couple of books. Like, I just got here. I just got a little. I just got a couple of dollars.
Paul, you are in so much trouble, and you know it.
I absolutely love it. What do you have coming up, Stacey? What's next for you? Anything going on?
Oh my goodness. This fall? Well, I was for work or play. Which one?
Anything.
Okay, because I'm always on ABC as one of the Good Morning Mamas.
Love
I was
it.
Just on there last week talking about potty training.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, my daughter is potty trained. Yay!
Are you thinking about writing a book, maybe?
I don't know. I mean, I really love sharing my experience about motherhood and. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know what's in the future. God willing.
Yeah.
You show me the ropes.
I'll show you the ropes, kid.
But we are traveling for our 11-year anniversary. We will be in Bermuda for our 11-year wedding anniversary at the end of this month. So that's
fantastic.
Exciting. 11 years.
Sometimes I hear things like that and I'm like, oh, I should be on my second ex-husband by now. I mean, you know what I mean?
Paul.
It's like, I need to catch up.
Paul.
I got to at least rub one out real quick. Like, we get married.
Rub one out?
We get married. It's a big party. 6 months later, something happens. We get a divorce.
Oh, my goodness.
I
cannot
hiding.
Wait until someone ties you down. And you're going to be so in love. And I'm going to make fun of you. And I'm going to talk about these moments when you were talking crazy. I can't wait.
Oh, I can't wait.
Someone is going to put it on you.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. And I'm going to make fun of you. I'm going to be like, remember when you said.
Oh, my God. Okay. I'll take that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take that. Well, so this fall, you know, of course, I said I'm launching the hair care product line.
Yes.
We're also doing, I'm doing a fundraiser at Bloomingdale's on September 13th in this area.
Okay.
Bloomingdale's Chevy Chase, that is a fundraiser for colon cancer.
Wonderful.
It's a big fashion show there.
Oh.
So definitely check that out. And people can check out all of my stuff at paulwhartonstyle.com and follow me on Paul Wharton Style on Instagram and Paul Wharton on Twitter. And where can they follow you, Stacey?
I'm Frau Rush on Instagram and also on Twitter.
Very cool. You know, I'm really excited about the fact that, you know, the first episode with Vivica Fox, that was great because I love Vivica. She's been such a great friend.
And she gives a good interview.
She gives a great interview. But I really wanted people to have the opportunity to get to know you, our new listeners to get to know me on politics, not so much just on Hey Phrase or on Fox 5 or in these other places where I am. Mm-hmm. And for them to get to know us and our friendship, because we have fun.
We do have fun together. We do. Always. It's always never a dull moment with us, right?
And I've loved watching you kind of evolve as a mother, as a, you know, as a wife, because, I mean, you're just all of that. And also as a TV host and personality. Yes. And I just love watching it.
Oh, thank you, Paul. How long have we known each other?
It's been a while.
I think it's almost 10 years.
I think almost.
Yeah.
You were a different person then.
I know.
We would do shots.
Shots.
Vodka shots. And, oh, God. And I would mention kids and you would go, oh, God, no.
Oh, my gosh, Paul. But, you know, isn't that, that's what life is about.
It really is.
It's about embracing change. It's about, you know, living your best in every stage. Mm-hmm. And that's what life is about. I love that I was a different person 10 years ago. I would hate if I wasn't a different person 10 years ago.
Mm.
You know?
Let me find out.
Mm.
You've been hollering at Yama.
When are we having her on the show?
We're having her on soon. She's actually taping the new season of her show.
Okay.
I know you saw Charisse on there, right?
I did.
I didn't see the episode.
It was gut-wrenching.
Okay, so for you all that don't know, we're talking about Charisse Jackson-Jordan. She is on Real Housewives of Potomac. She was a housewife the first two seasons, and now she's like a friend of the show.
Friend of the show, that's
so
right.
So she was on Iyanla Fix My Life, Iyanla Van Zandt's show on OWN.
Yes.
Charisse and I have been friends for many, many, many years, and we had a fallout, okay? And maybe we'll get a chance to talk about this on the podcast. I know that recently you ran into Charisse.
And I had a few words with her, and
okay.
I'm really trying to build a bridge between the two of you.
These fallouts are happening quite a bit with me.
Listen, what is going on
I'm
with you?
Beefing.
You have a problem with this friend and that friend.
With all of them crazy bitches. Because you know what? I've been dealing with these women for years and years and years. You know, because my life has changed.
Yes.
Because there was a time where I was really available to these women and their rich girl problems. And I would be like the gay friend that went on shopping, went on vacation, and, oh, yes, honey. Oh, sweetie, you look so good in that. Oh, sweetie, you're so thin. Oh, everybody loves you. You know, always being the person there in their life that is always, you know, just throwing lots of compliments. Just
the motivator.
Right. At a certain point, my black ass had to go to work.
Yeah.
Things change.
Yes.
The dynamic of the relationship changed. And I've always been, since 2003, when I started on television on MTV, and then I went to VH1 and TV Land, I've always been like a little bit famous, like famous enough to like get us in places,
mm-hmm.
but not like, you know, J-Lo fame. I'm not confused about it. It's just enough to help me out
mm-hmm.
upgrading my situation.
But I mean, people know you, Paul.
They know me.
I mean, you walk down the street, I'm on the phone with you. It's like 9 o'clock in the morning and you're like walking and we can barely finish our conversation because you're like, oh, hey, how you doing? Nice to see you. Oh, and I'm like, Paul, hello.
You're like, I'm talking.
Yeah. It's like you, a lot of people approach you and they know you, they know your face and they, you know, want to say hello or get an autograph. So, I mean, don't minimize your level of fame.
Well,
really.
So what's happened in these relationships with women like Charisse, women like her, I'll say, over the years is because, you know, in those days I had a little fame, but I hadn't figured out what I'm doing for work.
Mm-hmm.
So like they had the money and I had the fame.
Okay.
And as time has passed and I've evolved, I've become a business person and a decent business person. So I've got my own, you know, cash and my own notoriety. So the dynamic of the relationship has changed. It's mm-hmm. not like I need you for this and you need me for that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know?
Yeah. So do you think that there is a little envy there?
Well, I think
really?
So. Really? I think so. I really do. Because I think that people like to see you stay in the place that they're comfortable
Preach.
With you being in.
Preach.
You know?
Yes.
And as you start to say, wow, okay, so yeah, we get to go have cocktails and champagne and all this, but what am I doing on Monday? Like, how come I don't have a plan? Like, they married a rich guy. You know, mm-hmm. I got to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I did. So, you know, the thing with Charisse is the love is still there. The same way it is with other strained relationships of mine, like Omarosa. Like, you know, there's another girl out in Potomac that I had this kind of same thing going on with. You know, the love, once it's there, it remains. And then sometimes you do forget why you're even beefing. Like with Charisse, we had an issue where she was expected to come and co-host a fashion show with me.
Okay.
She had committed to this fashion show 5 months in advance, okay?
As a friend.
Four months.
As a friend should.
As a friend should. We were promoting it. It was at UDC. There were posters of us. It was a whole thing. It was Charisse, myself, and Robin. Robin dropped out early, and then I replaced her with Monique Samuels, also from Real Housewives of Potomac.
Okay.
To make a long story short, Charisse, I'm texting her the week before. You have to promote it. People need to know that we're there. You need hair and makeup the night of the event. No, I'll have hair and makeup. I'm coming from another event, she says. She's not responding to text. She's not saying much of anything. It turns out that I found out. Okay, first of all, the day of the event, that was on Wednesday. 6 o'clock, we had to be there. At 2:41, she texts me telling me she's in Dominican Republic.
The day of the event?
The day of the event.
Are you kidding me?
She's in Dominican Republic. She got bit by a bug. She had an allergic reaction to some food. She was flying standby and didn't have her seat to get back. It's the worst day of her life. But the one thing that she always leaves out is an apology. She always has a long story about why everything is not working out, but she never says, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I put you in this position. I'm sorry I didn't cancel sooner. I'm sorry that you have to fix this thing again for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
She just, oh, me, my eye is swollen. Oh, I lost my seat on the plane. Oh, my God. And I'm like, I'm sick of this rich girl problem bullshit. Like, I'm sick of that.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're an adult. You knew you had to be here at this time on this date, and you knew that you weren't going to get here. If you're in Dominican Republic 2 hours before the event texting me with a swollen up eye, your ass knew the day before you weren't going to be there.
That's really horrible.
So she's saying that that's the reason why. I later get documentation and find out from another friend.
What do you mean documentation?
She told another friend on text that she had no intention of coming to this party. I'm not going to say who that friend is. That friend showed me the text messages.
Oh, my gosh.
She knew before she left town to go to Dominican Republic on Saturday that she was not going to come on Wednesday. She left on Sunday. She left town with me thinking she was going to be there after all these months, knowing she wasn't going to be there.
And you, again, you have...
I saw the text. It with my own two eyes.
Oh, my gosh. Charisse.
So that's the thing about defending a lie when you're defending yourself. You know, she's defending her.
Oh my gosh.
I missed my flight. My eye got swollen. I had an allergic reaction to some medication. You know, it's
and
like...
And she wasn't even planning on
showing
up. Your
ass left town
anyway.
Knowing you weren't going to come back. So I deserve an apology.
But did you confront her with that? Did you say, hey, girl...
No, she's still defending her lie.
Oh.
I had an allergic reaction. I'm missing my flight.
You are so crazy.
I got all kind of rich girl problems. And it's just like, all you had to do was show up and or apologize. So, to answer your question about why I'm beefing with all these chicks.
Wow. Well, that's,
I'm not taking their shit no more. I've changed.
Okay, so when you guys see each other, what happens now? Do you just not even
acknowledge
one another?
Well, I'm a very magnanimous person, and I'm not petty like that. Those girls do that. But like Claire Summers from Fashion Bomb Daily. So she interviewed me at one of her events at Malmaison downtown. Claire Summers, if you guys don't know Fashion Bomb Daily, an amazing blog. Check it out on Instagram. She's everywhere. She's just doing big, big things.
Yeah,
good friend of mine.
Is.
So Charisse came and she was in the audience and I acknowledged her from the stage on the microphone. Oh, that's Charisse Jackson Jordan from Real Housewives of Potomac. Give her a round of applause. This is after all this drama, okay? When I got off the stage...
I'm proud of you. You were the bigger person.
I do things like that.
I'm proud of you. Good.
So I get off the stage and I walk out into the audience and she's standing right there. She's nothing. She says nothing. But that's how she is. I mean, you know, a lot of these women out here are like that. They're like that. So I know you've talked to her. I know she's...
I did.
No, what was her
take? She, you know, I had a long conversation with her and she didn't mention any of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she just talked about... really loving you. And, you know, she was just basically saying that at the time when all of, you know, she did say that you fell out. And she said when you guys fell out, it happened during a time in her life when She had a lot going on emotionally, and I think perhaps maybe, you know, I don't want to speak for her, but she just said she had a lot going on, perhaps with her divorce, and, you know, there was a lot going on in her life, and she said, you know, basically that she didn't have the energy to fight with you. And I said, wow, I mean, I allowed her to speak, and I said, well,
there was no fight. I said, feel better. In the text that she's the last text she sent me, feel better.
She said she didn't have the energy to fight with you.
Child, please.
And I said, well, you know, I really like you, Charisse, and you know, I love Paul, and I would just, you know, like to bring you guys together. Do you think that's a possibility? And she was open and definitely receptive to what I was trying to do. So I don't know. Maybe we should just do lunch or something.
Not after she listened to this. That ship has sailed. Well, you know what?
My gosh.
I wish them all well. Let them all pop champagne.
Oh my gosh.
Let them all pop champagne. But you know, in life, you know, that friends change.
Yes.
You know, if I look at the friends that I have now, it's so interesting. There are a few from way back when, but I see a lot of people in my life that have stuck together with the same group of friends, like a big group of friends,
yeah,
through their whole life. But then I start to look at them and I think, wow, they really haven't changed much. Mm-hmm. It's like everybody kind of stays the same. For me, travel has opened up my mind to endless possibilities and the people all around the world that I can meet and befriend.
Yeah.
And we share experiences and we teach each other things, and they open their lives to me, and I do the same to them. That is, to me, what I've always wanted.
Yeah.
You know, because when I was a kid, you might know this, I didn't have many friends when I was a kid because, you know, the kids were so mean. You know, oh, you sissy, you fag, you this, you that. So I kind of stayed to myself, and home was my safe haven. Uh-huh. When I would go home, my mom had a big collection of books, and, you know, one was that sex book, of course, you know, that, you know, the sex book that everybody, all everybody's parents had.
Yes.
She ended up putting it up on the top of her closet. I used to get up there and, you know,
she hid it from you.
Flip through the pages. Oh, this is great. I'm definitely having some of this stuff when I get older. I'm having sex. But she also had travel books, mm-hmm, and books on all these, you know, places. I used to fantasize about going to London and, yeah, Paris. Oh, my God, Paris. And my parents went to Paris when I was a kid. So things like that, you know, things that I'm able to do now to explore and meet new people. And, you know, I've got a lot of love for the people from my past, but sometimes you just move on. You're not meant to move forward together, but the love is still there.
Yeah. And don't you think that when you travel and you have these amazing experiences, when you come home, aren't you grateful for your life at home? I mean, I know when you're on a trip, you're traveling and you're having a great time and you come home and it's like, okay, back to the hustle. But I also find that I'm more appreciative of what I have and my base and my rock and my safety. You know, I love that in my home is where I feel most like myself.
There's no place like home.
Yeah.
It's so true.
And you're surrounded by love. And I don't know. I just think travel in general, it really opens your mind to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it just makes you more grateful. It makes you grateful for your own life, grateful to be able to experience other cultures and other sounds and languages and food. I just, you know, that's why I have, you know, traveled so much with my husband. That's why my daughter has been to 8 countries. She's only 2 years old. That was my dream, to have a child and travel the world with my child. And I'm doing that. I'm sharing my love with my child. It's beautiful.
That is beautiful. And like, I found this friend, Alessandra Grimaldi, who I mentioned earlier. It's so interesting because Alessandra speaks as much English as I do Italian. Not very much. Not very much, you know. And we can be together all day. It's like we understand each other. And it's so interesting. She hardly speaks any English. And we go into a store with a person that I don't necessarily connect with. And she's like my translator. So she's translating Italian to she don't hardly speak no English. She's translating for me. Oh, we are like, I mean, we have such a heart connection. So don't just think, for anybody out there that, you know, if you think that your world is just revolves around your village, your county, your city, your state, you know, explore, think, make a plan and just work toward it.
Yeah.
Save a couple of bucks, make a plan to go on a trip and just start to open up your life in that way. I think you'll be really surprised.
Absolutely.
That language doesn't hold you back.
No, it doesn't.
But Stacey.
Yeah.
I'm loving you.
I'm loving you too, sweetie.
I'm loving you on this second episode of Politics. I want to thank you all for listening to us. Me and my friend, I hope you got a chance to get to know us a little bit better
this
and stick
great.
With us. shout out to Dr. Michael Eric Dyson.
Yes.
Thank you so much for just sharing your thoughts on Aretha's funeral and you know, some things that we're all thinking but can't always say.
Yeah.
So thank mm-hmm. you for
takes a lot of courage
for being that person for a lot of us. So check us out. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, Paul Wharton on YouTube. Check us out at politics.tv. My website is also paulwhartonstyle.com.
Yes.
My book, Pulling It All Together, is available on Amazon and in Barnes & Noble stores, also at walmart.com and target.com.
That's right.
Stacey, where can they find you again?
I am at Frau Rush on Twitter and Instagram.
I love it. Yeah, follow us on Instagram. I'm at Paul Wharton Style. Thank you so much, Full Service Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Line Hotel. We love it here. Now I think we should go have a cocktail.
Yes.
What do you think?
Let's go.
Love you, girl.
Love you, too.
See y'all next week, Thursday at 2.
He got the look, he wrote a book. Paul Wharton, he'll get you hooked. Beauty tips and life advice. How to eat right and be feeling nice. Strong woman, strong mind. The inner goddess you will find. Iconic homes, celebrity faces, TV shows and exotic places. He's there for you if you need to feel better. Paul is here pulling it all together. He's there for you if you need to feel better. Paul is here pulling it all together. He's there for you if you need to feel better. Paul is here pulling it all together. He's there for you if you need to feel better. Paul is here pulling it all together. Woo! Paul is here pulling it all together. He's there for you if you need to feel better. Paul is here pulling it all together.